Hello, everyone. My name is Cosette. I'm coming to you from Massachusetts.
And I'm Camille, and I'm coming to you guys from California. And you're listening to the Everything and More podcast. If you are new here, welcome. Make sure to follow us on Spotify. That way you're notified every time we post a new episode. And if you are listening on Apple Podcasts, be sure to leave us a review because that lets us know what we need to work on, what you love, what you hate. But like, maybe don't say what you hate because that would hurt my feelings.
Yes.
But
only what you love.
Yeah. Only what you love. Only what you like about us. No, I'm just kidding. Anything is helpful. We love constructive criticism. So that is great too. But anyways, we are very excited to get into today's episode. We have a very special guest with us. Everyone, please welcome Piper Page. Woo! Woo! Applause.
Yay!
So much applause.
That was cute. I liked that. Thank yes. you. Thank you for having me here.
No, thank you for joining us. We are very excited. So we're going to go ahead and get started. We like to start our episodes with highs and lows. So of the week. So we talk about the best part of our week, the worst part of our week, and everything in between. So just whatever you feel like saying. But we'll, Cosette and I will start. That way you kind of get the feel and then you can think about what you're going to say, because I did not prepare beforehand, so I'm just going to be spitballing it here. But Cosette, you could actually go first with the highs and lows.
Okay, then okay. Fine. Okay, so let's see. I'll just start off with my lows. So for the low for the week, it's kind of just rainy, like, all this week. There was so much rain, and, well, sometimes I like the rain, but when there's, like, too much rain, like, every day, then I'm like, I want the sun. But then my high for the week is that I went to the movie theater with my siblings and my mom. And because, like, every, like, Tuesday and Wednesday, we went on Wednesday. Like, at the movie theater near my house, they have a movie that's, like, only $1. So it's just $1 movie.
Ooh.
And but it was, like, a kid's movie. We watched Croods 2. It was funny.
Oh, that's nice. So I've seen that.
Yes.
Well,
7 out of 10.
That's good. I like that you gave it a rating just
yeah.
Yes. Rating a kid's film. I haven't seen like a dollar movie in a long time. They don't here, they just try to make everything
like $10 movies.
I haven't even been to the movies in a long time, but I do want to go. There's this movie out called Zola, and I want to see it so bad.
Oh.
So it's based on a Twitter thread. So if
really?
You guys,
what?
Yeah, it's pretty intense. If you guys, you should look it up. The Zola Twitter thread. But anywho, very intense. I'll go ahead and go with my highs and lows. So my low, okay, I guess my low is that it's just been really hot, and that is just terrible. Like, that is just so draining. Over here in California, like, the heat is just not my friend. But along with that, my high also comes in because, guys, my air conditioner has been broke for about a year and a half now. And it'll be like 100 degrees, like, in my room. So, but I got it fixed yesterday. Woo! Yes!
Woo-hoo, finally.
It's been a long time. Yes, thank you. It's been a long, long time. And so I remember it literally used to get so hot in my room that I would, like, drench my t-shirts in water when I would sit up here. And then they would dry within, like, 5 minutes because it was that hot.
Oh, my
hot.
Gosh.
So it is a blessing that the air conditioner is fixed. So there's my high. But Piper, tell us your highs and lows.
Okay. I guess my high for this week would be that I just got approved for my new apartment. So I'm officially moving next week. I'm very excited. I'm very excited. I love my current apartment, but I'm officially departing Manhattan to move over to Brooklyn. So,
ooh, that's really exciting.
Yes. So that's my high for the week. And I guess my low is that it's just been way too hot on this island, like way too hot.
Really?
And I live in an apartment without AC. So, so it's just been miserable. dying in the heat, waking up, and I'm just like so sweaty. And I'm like, that's just not cute. How am I supposed to go out and do things?
How am I supposed to look cute?
I know some people love hot weather. I'm such a hater. I hate it. I prefer it to be cold and snowing. So that's been my low for this week.
Girl, you could say that again. This is my thing about summer. Everybody loves summer because of the break, not because of the weather. The weather is just honestly horrific. Right. And that's just so disrespectful.
A lot of people like the weather, I think. A lot of people like the heat.
Well, people like it to be sunny. Like, people like the springtime weather.
Right. Mm. Like, love the spring. Love the spring.
But the summer, it's just like, it's like unnecessarily hot.
Yes.
We literally talked about this in our last interview. I was talking about how just miserable I am being hot. And I'm a California native and I'll be here until I die practically. So this is terrible. I'm just going to have to endure this heat for the rest of my life. It's okay. It's okay. Anywho, we are moving on now, guys. And we are going to talk about the music. We are going to talk about Piper as an artist. So we're just going to go ahead and jump right in. So Piper, tell us about yourself and your journey through music and how you got to where you are today, basically.
Yeah, okay. I've been an artist officially an artist for only like 3, maybe 4 years under the name Piper Page. But I started doing music, like singing it when I was really little. I was always wanting to be on stage, loved to be dancing, singing, whatever, acting. And then I started songwriting when I was around 12 years old. So getting near a decade now that I've been doing that. And I just absolutely love it. Like, I love writing. It started as being like interested in poetry. And then I just, you know, combined my love of poetry and playing the piano and put them together. So I've been a songwriter for about 8, almost 9 years now. I did my first project as a musician right out of high school. And I did a 3-song EP, but didn't really market it at all. Just like did not know how to do that. Then I went to college for it. So now I'm at NYU. I'm going on my junior year in music business and learning everything I can about how to actually be an artist, market myself as an artist. And I think I've had a lot of experience in the music industry in different areas. I've worked on my own projects. I've been on tour before. Now I work in marketing right now as an intern, and I do live music. Like I've had a lot of experience through the opportunities I've been given, but now it's the time to actually apply that to my life.
Right.
So when I got to NYU, I just kind of took it in. I didn't really do much with music. I was writing constantly, but not putting anything out. I just wanted to observe and, you know, see how other people were doing it before I dip my toes in first. And so I didn't put anything out for 2 years until this past May, decided to release Risk. And that was a very, very long process. I started it last September with one of my producers who was a very close friend of mine. And we started producing it. Then this year, 2021, brought on my manager, Meg. We then brought on 6 more team members to the artist team, another second manager, and then 5 team members that help with my marketing, PR, creative direction, and publishing and licensing, and kind of just became this whole like function very fast. I was not ready. I did not know what I was doing, but it feels much better now to know that there's like people behind me that'll back me up and help me out on that front. And I can still make music that I love. And then we just released Risk, and it's been just the best thing ever since then. So, yeah.
Wow. That's exciting and incredible that I just to kind of walk through your journey and see, like, you know, what it was like kind of putting out your first, like, real project. And in the midst of this crazy year also that it's been.
Yes.
So how long have you been with your like team, with your manager involved, and like when did they reach out to you, or you reach out to them? Like, what was that like?
Yeah, so my manager, so I have two managers, Meg and Amanda, love them both dearly. Meg has kind of acted, we were close friends first. She's in my major at NYU, and we just kind of found each other. I was an artist looking for a manager. She was a manager looking to manage. And we were like, hey, it'd be stupid if you weren't my manager, because we're already friends. You know my music in and out. Like, every single time I'm working on a song, she's like the first person that hears it anyway. So I was like, this just makes the most sense.
Right.
And so we officially like started that, though, I would say like January of this year. Then February, March, we worked to find like the rest of the team. And the reason we did that is because we were in a class at NYU where we did like basically it was like a mock record label. And we saw how well that worked for the artist that we were working with, and I was like, maybe that's the best route to take. Like, I know how to market other artists. That's what I do in my day job, and I like it. But when I apply that to myself, I don't know why it just doesn't ever, like, it doesn't work. And so knowing my weaknesses and like knowing where I am the best at and what I'm not the best at was, it became very important for me to recognize that. So we brought on, and we kind of just like reached out in like Facebook groups, and we're like, hey, we are putting together this artist team and we're looking for this and this and this position. If you would like to work with an actual artist, and this is like your break into the music industry, if you haven't had the chance to go to school for this, because not a lot of people do. I'm very lucky to go to a school that has such a very niche program, but it's not that popular and it's not that well known. Right. So for those people that don't have those programs or don't already have the connections, that's another big thing, is having those connections in the music industry. I didn't have them myself. Then this is the right opportunity for you. And we found those people that wanted to take that initiative and back me as an artist. So we brought on the next 5 or 6 in March. Yeah.
Oh, wow. Yeah, like really fast.
Really, really fast. Yeah. It all just kind of happened at once. Yeah. And I was like, oh my gosh, suddenly there's like people I have to like talk to, and they count on me to do things. Yeah.
That's so cool. Okay. So the next question that we have is like, so like, who are like some artists that you like find inspiration from?
Yeah. I'd say it changes as I'm getting older, but right now, lyrically, I draw a lot of, and I get this a lot, that I sound like Adele, but lyrically, I draw inspiration from like Adele. I really like how Amy Winehouse writes as well, very honest, very truthful writing. Also like Mahalia, Sinead Harnett, those are probably my biggest songwriting inspirations. And then like singing-wise, I just love the power behind voices like Adele and Whitney Houston, Aretha Franklin. It's just a very strong sound, but still like carefree. I would say I probably draw the most inspiration from them. Also stylistically, I've been listening to a lot of Stevie Wonder lately. Love him.
Yes, me too. It's so funny that you mentioned him, because I was just like researching stuff about Stevie Wonder, because there's this, and this like shameless plug to, I mean, I'm not involved in it at all, but there's this documentary that just came out on Hulu called Summer of Soul about a music festival that happened in New York, in Harlem, like several years ago, I think like 1964 maybe. And Stevie Wonder was performing, and he was slamming, and he was just so good. And like, you look at artists like Stevie Wonder and you're like, wow, like that is just talent, like without a doubt.
Yes.
Especially doing all that blind. I was like, sir, hello, like I can't do anything, and I can see, like, you just think about how much like effort that puts in. And I've just been thinking a lot recently about, you know, how much effort and time it goes into making music. So just, there's my shout out to that documentary. Go watch it if you haven't seen it. It is very good. It talks a lot about just African-American culture and music and what Harlem was like during that time. It was 11 out of 10. Incredible.
Wow. Yeah. I'll make a note to watch that. That sounds great.
Yeah. Yes, it was really good. It's great for all the music lovers. I was like, if you love music, watch this, please. But kind of moving on from that anyhow, we talked a little bit earlier about what it was like getting into that process of releasing Risk. And like, tell us what just like that whole process was of releasing that song, writing that song, working with a producer. Like, what does that song mean to you?
Right, yeah. So Risk, I've said this many times, but like, I don't remember writing the beginning of Risk. Like, I think I wrote it in 2019. And I think I just, sometimes I'll just like watch movies or watch a TV show and I like the plot line, so I'll write a song about it. And I think it was one of those cases. Like, it did not apply to my life at all. Mm. But then what usually happens is I'll write a song and eventually it will apply to my life. And that's exactly what happened. Is a year later, the storyline of Risk, like not wanting to be vulnerable with somebody and like not wanting to really dive into a relationship because you're just like scared of getting hurt. That whole storyline of Risk, it was happening in real life. And I was like, okay, this is a little too real. Maybe I should finish the song. And I did. And it wasn't meant to be, you know, my next single. Like, it wasn't meant to come out, honestly. I was just going to make a whole bunch of demos with my friend Will and, like, go from there. Like, I was supposed to have 5 demos. But what ended up happening is I sent him the demo for Risk, and he jumped on it immediately. Like, we started getting work done. I went over. We recorded. We tracked the vocals. I think that was in, like, October of 2020. Tracked the vocals. Started getting some ideas going. Couple months go by, he passes it off to the next producer, and Jesse Blue is the one who finished the song. But again, it was just supposed to be a demo. It was never supposed to really come out until Jesse started messing with it, and I was like, okay, I actually really like this. Why not? You know, why not just release it? So he started on that process. He finished it, and I was like, you know what? It's coming out. And that's also kind of when the artist team started to form, and this all became so real. Is okay, Piper Page is actually going to take her music career seriously. It's been 2 years. All I do is sing, all I do is write. I have a song book with like 200 pages in it. 200 pages are almost full in it. So, wow. If that tells you anything about how quick I write and how often I write, it was kind of becoming insane. And my manager Meg was saying the same thing, like, okay, Piper, you write every single day. Like, you should probably put something out or at least pass a song off to a singer, like, as a singer. So that's what I did. Oh my gosh, not the fire truck coming
back. It's okay. This happened before. Yeah. Like, the fire trucks and the police cars and everyone's always in our business, right? When we're trying to record a podcast.
Every time.
Yep. And I never, because I live in New York, I like never hear it. I never hear the sirens. But then it's like when I'm in this situation, I always hear it.
Oh my gosh.
If we weren't recording, I probably would not even notice that was happening.
Yeah.
But yeah, like I was saying, so around the time that Risk was starting to be finished was the time that I was like, oh, this is real. Like, it's a good song. Like, it should come out. And my manager was saying, yes, it should. And yeah, so I think the whole process took, I want to say 7 months from start to finish. 7 months, not including the initial write, like when I wrote it in 2019. But yeah, and then it was finished in April. It was mastered in April. The photo shoot happened in April. And then the music video shoot happened in May. It came out in May. Music video came out in June. Yeah.
Wow. That is amazing.
How long did it take to like film the music video for it?
2 days. Not full days. I guess 2 like half days, about 3-4 hours each. I was tired though. I mean, to film it, took about 4 hours, but to get ready for it and to get mentally prepared to do that. That took all day. Like, I was hyping myself up in the mirror, like, okay, I can do this. I can act on camera. That took all day. But the actual video, yeah, about 4 hours each across 2 days, two different weekends. So, yeah.
Was it kind of scary going into that, like, kind of first big, like, music video moment for you?
Oh, absolutely. I was so scared. I was like, I mean, I grew up acting. I've been on camera before. I've done short films, and I've always been on stage. So, but also when you're acting on stage, you can't see yourself.
That's true.
And so I was like, okay, I've done this before. I can do this. But then there's a whole added aspect of, like, you know, insecurities start to creep in. I'm like, what if I make the wrong face? What if I look weird in this frame? Like, yeah. I can't go back and change it. Once it's filmed, that's there. That's the content that my director has to use. And I just have to deal with that. So it was scary for sure. I obviously had to learn boundaries as well, like what I was comfortable doing and what I wasn't comfortable doing, what angles I was not comfortable in, outfit choices and locations and all of that. It was a lot to learn. This whole experience has been just, I'm learning constantly.
Wait, so how many places have you gone on, like, tour before?
Tour? So my tour was also right out of high school, and that was a charity tour, actually. So I had formed an organization out of high school with one of my best friends who plays the cello, and she also sings. And
wow.
It was called Wishful Singing Tour. I was really I still am into music therapy. Love working with kids. And it was something I had done all of high school, was basically like playing music in hospitals and the special ed program to children. Yeah. And done that all of high school, loved it. And so we went on tour, took that idea on the road. And it's just two girls in a minivan with a keyboard and a cello and our suitcases, traveled from Boston to San Francisco in that.
Oh, movie. Wow.
So wow.
Yeah.
Fresh out of high school, too.
Fresh out of high school. Just
impressive.
She's a year younger than me. So I was 18. She was 17. Oh, and it was just the two of us. I don't know how my parents were cool with that.
Yeah, across the whole country.
I truly don't know. I don't know why they said yes to that.
They're like, okay.
But it was definitely, I mean, I feel like everyone has that, like, life-changing moment in their life. That was definitely mine. Like, that was so meaningful. I think we did 14 cities that we played at. It was, we played in children's hospitals and also, like, a couple churches. Mm-hmm. Absolutely life-changing, just to, like, play music for these kids and raise money for them too. I think we made $1,300 on that road trip for the Children's Miracle Network.
Oh, yay.
Yeah, it was the best thing ever. I would do it again in a heartbeat. And a lot of connections made there at, like, those hospitals and with those kids. Just loved it. Yeah.
Yeah. Wow. That is amazing. Yeah. My parents, I wonder if they would. This is, my dad listens to all my episodes. So, Dad, like, can I just go across the country?
Go on tour.
My parents are crazy. Like, I don't know why they said yes to that.
Were you, like, by your, just the two of you, like, by yourselves?
For the first 3 or 4 days of the tour, when we were over on the East Coast, my best friend's dad was with us. And then after that, yeah, it was just us.
Wow. So that, like, is a lot of trust. You must be a really good kid. You must have been a great kid.
At the time I was like, oh, it's nothing. Like, yeah, of course my parents would say yes. Like, why wouldn't they? But now I'm, like, older and I'm like, why the heck did they let me do that?
No, that's funny. I mean, it was for a good cause. They probably were like, if we stop her, what are we doing? What does that say about us?
You know, it was a good cause. It was either that or I was just going to, like, sit on my butt at home in my parents' basement and do nothing. So those were the two options.
See, they're giving, that was opportunities just being given.
Yeah.
Anywho, like, kind of moving forward from that, you had mentioned, I mean, like, you were in school and, like, they put together, like, kind of a mock label situation for an artist. right now you're an independent artist. Do you think that you'll ever sign with a label, kind of knowing what you do know about the music business?
This is a question I've thought a lot about, because I currently work for a record label. I work at Sony. So my day job, I get to see all of that stuff, and it's really, really interesting. And I work directly with up and coming artists, people that are exactly like me, a lot of them who were discovered on TikTok. So I'm like, I am seeing these artists develop from like the start. I want that? I have no clue. I have watched, like, in the media and stuff, artists grow and labels turn them into something that they don't want to be. I know a lot of artists hate the way that they're treated. They hate, you know, I know a couple people from my school who were recently signed, and they are very vocal about how their label treats them on the internet. And I get to see that in real time. I'm like, okay, well, I don't want that. But I'm really lucky that where I work, the way that these artists are being developed, I can tell they love it. And, you know, love the way that they're being developed. Like, the team there is incredible. So I'm like, okay, I've seen the good parts and the bad working in it. I have no clue, though, what I want. I think the answer is yes. Like, I think every artist kind of wants to be signed.
Yeah, a little bit, you know.
Yeah, so I think the answer is yes, I would love to be signed. But right now, it's not what I'm working towards. I'm just working on creating good music that I love, for people who love it, and finding my sound or sounds, you know, just figuring it out. Eventually, maybe, sure. But right now, I like where I'm at.
That's good. And, you know, you right now you have all the creative control in the world, so that's good too.
So I saw, like, that you are, like, a co-founder of the company called Stage Whisperer. Is that how it's pronounced?
Like, yes, okay. Stage Whisperer, yeah.
Okay. So can you tell us, like, more about that?
Yeah. So Stage Whisperer, we focus on working with up-and-coming artists. We highlight them, we showcase them. We also are into the live music scene in New York City. And how that started is the three of us, three founders, we were in the same class. This was last fall, and we got, like, randomly assigned to this group. It was a producing live music events group, so the whole point was, like, book a show. Obviously, with COVID, we couldn't book a show, but we had to do, like, a live stream show, and it just ended up going really well. We really liked working together. We worked well. All of our ideas were very similar, and the show itself, we stood back and we were like, oh, that went, like, really well for three people who don't know what they're doing. And so we kind of just continued it. We came up with the name in the class. And then in December, we decided to, like, make it an official company. And we did three more live streams after that. And we've had the opportunity to work with some really incredible artists from the get-go. And, you know, we had no connections, no resources. We did not know what we were doing. That's kind of that's like the theme of my life, is I never know what is going on, but like, good things always come out of it. And that's how this started. Like, we did not know what we were doing, but we had the opportunity to work with our former professor, who taught that class, and she runs Women That Rock on Instagram. Mm. And so because we were able to work with her, we got a lot of great contacts, some really great opportunities. And we also get to learn a lot from her, because she's been doing it longer than we have. Yeah. And we did our first joint show with her in February, did another solo show in May, and then another one in June with her again. And now we're getting ready to do our first in-person show now that most COVID restrictions in New York are lifted. So, yeah, I've absolutely loved working with those girls. I've listened to so much different music than I think I would have had I not met them. And had we not started this, we definitely, like, branch out of our horizons there with who we get to work with. And then also, like, the artists that we get to meet through that is incredible, because again, we're watching their careers go from start to finish. One of the first artists that we featured on our Instagram is now going on tour with a couple really well-known bands this fall. And so we had nothing to do with that, but we like to say that we did.
Take the credit.
First, like, we knew
right. Her, right. When she's winning Grammys, you guys can be like, right. Well,
they can thank yeah. us. Like, it's great to see her develop since then. And we have so much faith in the artists that we share with our audience, because we really do think that they're like the next rising stars, and we want to help them in that way. So, yeah.
Right. That is great. Well, this question is like kind of just a sway away from all that, but it's fun. What would you say is your go-to karaoke song?
Ooh. Okay. Oh, that is so hard. Probably like Toxic by Britney Spears.
Wow, that's a good one.
Anything Britney Spears. Like, I love Free Britney, honestly. Like, I love Britney.
Yes,
Britney. Probably something Britney Spears or something Adele. Depends on the mood.
The
crowd is feeling, but it's probably one of them.
I honestly, Turning Tables, Turning Tables, Set Fire to the Rain, and Hometown Glory. Those are some of my, like, top, like, I could just sing this at the top of my lungs, and no matter if it sound good or bad, I'm going to sing it anyway.
Probably one of, or so I love Amy Winehouse, probably like Valerie.
Oh, yes.
That's also probably
Valerie.
That's probably actually more likely. Like if I was doing karaoke,
Won't you come on over? Yeah. I love that song. Cause what's your go-to karaoke song? Let's just talk about it.
All I Want for Christmas Is You. No matter if it's July, I'll still sing that song. I love Christmas.
Love that song. Hey, Christmas in July is a thing. I was just talking about this.
Yeah, it's July. So it's basically Christmas now.
Yep, exactly. I'm glad to know your guys' karaoke songs. Now when we go to karaoke together, when Cosette and I are in New York, we'll have our songs all queued up and ready to go.
Love that.
Yeah, yep. I'm not that far from New York right now. I'm like 4.5-hour drive. Like, what is like the hardest part about like writing music or just like being an artist in general?
The hardest part about writing music? I think for me, it's that when I write music, I can't hear the instrumental part. All I hear is the melody. And I'm a lyricist at heart, so like lyrics always come first for me. I can't ever hear the end product, which is why I don't produce. I can't produce. I pass everything off to producers. Because I don't know what comes next. I can give you the melody. I know how that sounds. I know how it goes. But I don't know if I want drums. I don't know if I want guitar. You know, the things. I could not have imagined risk the way that it is. Like, in my mind, I was like, okay, I have these inspirations. I have these reference tracks. I know I want to sound something like this, but I don't know how to turn that into what it is.
Yeah.
So that's probably the hardest part for me.
Yeah. And understandable too. Like you said, not everybody is a producer. So to be able to, I mean, like, and that in itself is a gift, because a lot of producers and a lot of artists who can do both, like, that is impressive. I was just telling my friend, like, music is obviously up to interpretation for the listener. And so, like, one thing I noticed is that I'm a huge fan of Ariana Grande. And so she, like, released a couple months ago, like, how she built the Positions bridge, like, to that song. And I was just, like, taken back by how much goes into just, like, vocal arranging and, like, to be able to be, like, oh, yeah, like, let me do this again or punch this back and just do, like, all this. But, like, she can hear that just, like, in her head what she wants it to sound like. And I'm, like, that is just incredible. But kind of to wrap our little interview up, where do you see yourself in 5 years? Or like, where do you want to be in 5 years in, when it comes to your career in music or music business, whatever that looks like for you?
Great question. Still figuring out.
Yeah.
I'd love to be, you know, not full-time. I would love to say I could be a full-time musician, and I think, you know, that's definitely realistic. I could do that.
Yeah.
But I'm still actively pursuing a career in the music business. I'm pre-law at NYU, so I am hoping to go to law school one day and do entertainment law. Really, like, big area for me that I'd love to focus in at some point in my life. I don't know if that is going to be in 5 years. I don't know if that's going to be when I'm 40, but eventually.
Right, yeah.
It's something I would love to do. I love working with up-and-coming artists. I love working with women of color in the music industry and making sure that I can advocate for them in the way that they should be advocated for. But I would love to be doing this all the time, just making music, if not for myself, for others. I do write in other genres besides my own. So I'd love to work with some like really big name artists, I think, in a bunch of different areas.
That is great. I love that. And that, like, what a way to end, because I agree. I'm a public relations major at my school, and I focus on entertainment. And once I graduate, I want to get my associate's degree in music business. And I, like, 1,000,000% agree with like what you said. Like, honestly, like, I'm gonna write that on a plaque or something. Like, it's important to be an advocate for women in this industry. And I can tell that you're passionate about that, and I love that, because I am as well. And I just I wish that for you. I wish there were more people like that in the music industry. It was a very male dominated industry, and so like to be able to want to advocate and want to raise out those voices and everything is something I hope to see. And I just loved talking to you and loved hearing that about you and that being your vision. So thank you, Piper, so much for joining us.
On the show.
Thank you so much.
Yes, we loved having you. And come back soon. No, I'm so excited to see what you have in store and what's going to be going on. So really, thank you for joining us.
Thank you. Have a great rest of your day, y'all.
Yes, guys. Thank you so much for listening to the Everything and More podcast. Thank you for just listening with us this week. If you're new here, if you came to listen to Piper and all she has to say, thank you so much for joining us. If you liked Cosette and I, make sure to follow us on Instagram and follow us on Spotify so that you can stay updated about what we're doing, and so that you can also leave us a review on Apple Podcasts if you're there. Also, guys, make sure to listen to Risk on our new Everything and More collection playlist. It is going to be added. It will be there by the time this episode is out. So please, please, please stream Risk and listen to Piper's music, because she is incredible. Again, we thank you for listening. Make sure to share this episode with your brother and your niece and your mom, your boyfriend, girlfriend, and whoever is in your life. Share this episode with them. And thank you so much. We will be back next week with a brand new episode. Bye.